Once again, I'd like to say I'm thankful for this day. I'd ask you to pray for us. I was in Kenya when Brother Brad called me. It was about 2 o'clock in the morning. I was about half awake, and he asked me, and of course I said yes, and I am thankful for this opportunity today. The Lord gave me a thought to do a devotional and preach. That's all I know how to do pretty much is preach with the Lord's help. So that's what I'm going to try to do today. If you have your Bibles, I want you to turn to 1 Peter, the first chapter. We like to give Peter a hard time, and if you read about him, there's a lot of things in there that you'll see. He made a lot of mistakes, just like I've made a lot of mistakes. And I'm quite sure if you look at your life and we try to do what Brother Doug, which we should do, he preached yesterday. Let me tell you, when you take that daily cross and you die daily, that's something to do. I appreciate that message. It went home with me last night. I want you to know that, brother. It went home with me. That's something I truly, truly desire to do. I do believe that we have to do that daily to be successful with the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe it takes a daily walk with the Lord. It does. If you have your Bibles, we'll start reading at the first epistle. The first chapter 1 might say this. In the second epistle of 2 Peter, it tells you some things that you can do. And it says this. I want you to think about this a minute. It says, if these things be in you and abound, now listen to this, you shall never fall. Now that's amazing to me. I'm still working on that. I'm still trying to get that going in my life. I don't want to fall. Do you want to fall? I want to be successful, not for a big name or an honor or anything, but I want to be successful for the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I do. There's success in Him. I remember a statement Brother Don Curtis made one time. He says, you don't have to tell a preacher when he does a good job. Did y'all know that? You know why? Because he's going to know. I didn't mean that. He's going to know. Y'all can get a good laugh out of that. He's going to know. That ain't mean none of us is good, but we're going to know when the Lord has helped us through and by the Spirit of God. Notice this. 1 Peter, first chapter. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia and Bithynia, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father through sanctification of the Spirit unto obedience and sprinkling the blood of Jesus Christ, grace unto you and peace be multiplied. I want you to think about this just a minute. Notice he says the word strangers. Do you know that that word there, the strangers, it don't mean what we think it might mean. It means a sojourner. Now think about this just for a few minutes of time. I told you I took that home with me last night, Brother Doug. If we do what he preached yesterday, this world is not going to be pretty to us. Not only that, you're not going to feel at home in this world. Amen. When I get close to the Lord, and I'm able to feel His Spirit. I'm able to feel Him around about me. And the closer that I get to that mirror, I see the things that's wrong with me. And I see this world. I do not feel at home. Do you? I don't. But it says, elect. Think about that. I'm looking at the elect. Did you know that? I am. You know what that word means? It means chosen. It means select. And one of the words, you know what it means? Favorite. Favorite. Boy, I like to think about favorite, don't you? Let's be real with God. I want to be one of His favorite. You know, Brother Kerry Kemp, he come up there and he taught a lesson in our Bible study. And you know what he talked about? He talked about a two that was in the shed. A tool laid up in the shed, and he made a statement, that tool in the shed, that he wanted to be like that tool was, that God could pick him up and use him. I want to be like that. I want God to look upon me, and I want God to see that he can use me for anything. I want to be willing to do those things. I was preaching the other day, and I heard about this, and I thought about this. When we think about a man getting up on a horse and riding so many miles to preach the gospel, and it's so cold outside that his feet freeze to the horse, his legs, and he has to pull his... What am I? Think about that. If the Lord sends us across the world and back, what are we? We're his elect. We should be willing to do anything that he would ask us to do. Anything. Notice this. He says, well, there's some good things right here, brother. Listen. It says, through the sanctification of the Spirit. That's a big S. Y'all learn the big S's and the little S's. They mean something. When you're reading the scriptures, learn the big S's and the little S's. They mean something in these scriptures. Look what it says. It says, Spirit unto obedience, sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace unto you and peace be multiplied. I say that unto you today as Peter was talking to these sojourners. I'm telling you the same thing today. Notice what it says. It says, Blessed be the God, our Father, of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. You don't ever put on, but when you get up here and you preach the gospel, you give every ounce of your being for him. You need to be a lively hope. We don't need to get up here and be weak. We need to be strong, brothers. A lively hope. Peter said we're lively stones. There's a life on the inside of you. We don't need to be just all down. And I get down. Brother Barry told you that yesterday. I do. Boy, I like to be up, don't you? I do. And I don't tell you what. You may not believe this, but you're going to have to get down to get up. You are. I don't know about you, but it takes me a while to get humble before the Lord, does it you? It takes humility. Humility. We have to put that on, right? Is that right, Brother Ron? We got to put humility on. Notice what it says. Some good stuff. To an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and fadeth not away, reserved in heaven. Who for? For you and for me. Boy, ain't that amazing. I tell you what, I can tear up anything. Can y'all? I'll get something, and it don't take long at all for it to get old to me. But I'm going to tell you something. I got something that's undefiable. It's incorruptible. It ain't going to fade. I'm going to tell you right now, I love to feel the Spirit of God. I have never got tired of that. Have you? I love to feel His Spirit. Undefiled. Now notice this. Who are kept by the power of God through faith and the salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Well, ain't that amazing to think about? We're kept. I always like to think about the prayer that Jesus prayed in the 17th chapter of John. You know what he told his Father? He said, all that you've gave me, I've not lost none except the son of perdition. And he never was his anyway. The Bible says he was a devil from the beginning. So he never was his. So you know what that tells me? He's lost none. And I'm telling you right now, he still ain't lost none. Ain't that good today? thankful for that. Now, I want you to get these in the next few verses, because this is actually what the Lord has given me to preach on. This is all good, what I just told you. I'm excited about going to heaven. I'm thankful that I've been saved. I know it's sure. I know it's steadfast. I know it ain't going nowhere. I know it ain't. And I'm thankful for that. But look what it says. Wherein you greatly rejoice, though now for a season. There's seasons, ain't they? I want you to notice these next words that I'm fixing to speak. It says this, if need be. I only got 9 minutes to tell you about if need be. But I want you to think about this. I want these young preachers, and I want everyone to know. I'll never forget a good friend of mine, and he's back preaching now, and I'm so thankful for that. He was such a fireball. I mean, he cranked up and he was a fireball. But I told him, I said, brother, there's going to come a time when you're going to come down. He really didn't believe that. And he did, boy. And I mean, he wore the pavement out for a long time. But we need to understand that there's times it's going to be rough. We need to know that. And there's going to be times it's going to be rough when it's very, very needful. I want you to understand that. I want you to think about that. He says this. He says, wherein you greatly rejoice thou now for a season, if need be you are in heaviness. That means distress. It means sad. It means sorrowful. Through manifold. That means various. Some that might come at you that won't affect me, and there may be something that'll come at me that won't affect you. But various temptations. And it ain't always those things of sin. Temptation also means approving. Okay? Approving. Not only that, but an experiment or an experience that you go through. But remember this. He says this. He says, the trial of your faith being much more precious than that of gold, through it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Think about that just a minute. Think about Abraham. Y'all ever think about Abraham? One of my favorite things to think about Abraham is when he took his son upon that mountain in the 22nd chapter of the book of Genesis. It says that God did tempt him. That's what the word says. If you look that word up in Hebrew, it's going to say test. It is. It's going to say test. The Bible says God will never, ever tempt you with evil. Do y'all believe that? So if evil's coming at you, you can say, it ain't the Lord. And a lot of people need to get this, including myself. If confusion is coming at you, it ain't the Lord either. Amen. It's not. It's the devil. But you know, Abraham was 100 years old when he got his promise of a son, right? That's a long time. I've seen people that waited for to have children, and it seemed like they couldn't have children. My youngest girl was one. Now she's got two, fixing to have another one. So that's what God can do. This man waited 100 years. And then God told him, take him up there on that mountain and sacrifice him for me. You know what he done? He took him up on that mountain. He got up there. I've thought about this many a times. You might say, well, why? Why was this a test? Why was this a trial? Why was this needful? Because first of all, it's a beautiful picture of the Father and the Son. And not only that, but in time, every one of us has preached on that. And I don't know about you, but it seems like sometimes when I think about what he done there, I would hope, I say that there's no way that we could do that, but I hope that I would be willing to do what he done, because listen, he was a man just like me. They sang a song, "Lay Isaac Down." You know what God wanted? He wanted every bit of Abraham. Amen. He wants every bit of Brad. Amen. He wants every bit of every one of us. And you know what happened there? When he took that knife and he got over him, I believe in his heart, the very moment in his heart when he was willing to do that, you know what God done? He spoke to him. I don't know about you, but there's been times that I didn't know what in the world I was going to do. And all at once, at the very end, the Lord spoke to me. He said, "It's going to be all right." He spoke to him. He said, "Lay not thine hand on my son. Do him no harm." You know what? Found that little ram in the thicket. There was a sacrifice. But that ain't all that happened. That test, he passed. P-A-S-S-E-D. He passed. The Bible says that the angel came to him the second time. What did he tell him then? I'll tell you what he told him. He told him, just like Brother Rick Jones, standing here when he went to Jamaica, God let him know that he's going to save his grandchildren. He told him, "Abraham, everything you do from this moment forward, you're going to be blessed." I'm going to tell you, what a promise. What a promise. You're going to be blessed. Boy, aren't you glad of that today? You know, I got 2 minutes. That's okay. Tell you about another I think about is Joseph. Y'all think it was needful for what he went through? You know, when you read the story of Joseph, beautiful picture. Oh, Lord, if there's ever a picture of Jesus Christ, oh, me. It's him, ain't it? He was sold for one thing. You know, if it hadn't been for Reuben and Judah, you know what would have happened to him? And the good Lord, most of all, he would have died. It's pretty amazing, ain't it? That one of them our Lord came out of. That's pretty amazing to me. You think God didn't have something to do with that? Most certainly. Joseph, y'all know the story. I've read it. If you ain't studied it, it's beautiful. It's beautiful. I thought this morning a verse of scripture that we're glad. Let us go down to the house of the Lord. That makes sense to you? You know what he told his, brothers? I've tried to picture that. Can you imagine standing in the front of your brothers and they had tried to do this, throwed you in a hole, sold you out. And all you could do was sit there and refrain because of the Spirit of the Lord was bubbling up in you, wanting to have compassion towards them and love them. You know, that amazes me to think about that. Amen. What was the first question he asked him? You know what it was? My father's still living? He wasn't nobody's daddy, didn't he? But you know what he told him at the end? He said, "It's not you that done this, but it's the Lord to preserve life." Amen. Remember what I said? Let us be happy and let's go down to the house of the Lord. You remember one of the things that he told him? It was very special to me. That was a needful thing. Think about Jesus. Where do you go every Sunday morning? You remember taking them little boys and girls to the church of the house of God. You remember what Joseph told his brothers? He said, "I want you to go and get your children. He said, I want you to bring them down here that they'll be took care of. Your children and their children." You know what I believe? I believe this with all my heart. I believe when we go to the house of the Lord and we carry our children there, they're going to get saved. Not only that, when my children, they take my grandchildren, they're going to get saved. Preserve life. Is that not what the scripture says? That's what he done for me. He preserved life. He saved my girls. I done got 3 grandchildren that's been saved. Got one more and one on the way. And I want you to hear my statement. I believe as long as my children take them to the house of God where the Spirit of God and the preaching of the truth is, they'll get saved and your children will and grandchildren too. Amen. I believe that. I believe that. God bless you. I love every one of you. You all mean so much to me. Pray for me. Let's pray for one another.